Back for some more on a Wednesday. Ben Lyons hanging out for Sedano, ESPN LA, ESPN Radio, presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Sedano show, like Rich Kleiman, who's going to be on today at 10:30, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G. For just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on a Wednesday. One, two, Dame's coming for you. Three, four, he's knocking at the door. Five, six, I might take the Blazers in six. What is happening with Damian Lillard in the bubble? 2,000 points, Greg, in two games? I lost track. How many points are there? 110 points in two games after the missed free throw?
Yeah, I think it's 112 at this point, but I think really it's actually like 2,957.4.
Right, because if every point in the bubble is worth 2.7 and the Dodgers are on a five-game losing streak now that Machado hit a home run, we're not going to talk about them. So Dame Lillard, by doing the math, has scored 2,000 points in the last 2 days. I mean, to see the performance he's put on, it's the difference in what makes the great players all-timers. It's the difference in that next level of Mount Rushmore of basketball, of those truly elite. He's putting the team on his back. You're saying, well, they're fighting for the eight seed. They never should have been in this spot in the first place before the pandemic. Whoa, whoa, he's had an incredible season. They lost eight guys from the team last year. They've had tons of injuries. They bring in Melo. We're going to get to Melo later in the show. You know we are. But, man, what a show out in the bubble last night from Damian Lillard. And then also, Greg, because I know you're going through it, man, as am I. You know, we're getting older. I'm playing a lot of golf. You got a lot of kids. Back pain is real. You know, we're out here stretching. We're maybe taking ibuprofen. I don't know how you handle anti-inflammatories. Maybe you're going to do some yoga. But Damian Lillard's running mate, CJ McCollum, suffered an L3 vertebral transverse process fracture. That just sounds like a whole lot of Dr. Clapper last Thursday. And he's been playing since then with a fractured back, going 2 of 14 last night. But so what? Who cares? Because let me say this again, CJ McCollum's playing with a fractured back. So Dame Lillard, with all this happening, goes for 61 last night, and man, that was some stuff, man. It has to make you a little scared today as a Laker fan. A little quaking in your purple and gold. A little bit. If that guy's knocking at the door, be honest.
Look, man, Damian Lillard is one of the most fun players in basketball to watch. I love watching him. He's one of my favorite players just because he's just incredible. And he's a killer. He is a straight-up killer. He will knock you out of games all by himself. Am I worried? I still think the Lakers are a better team. So anytime you're playing against Damian Lillard, maybe a little bit, but I'm not worried as much as maybe you are saying. Blazers in six. Get out of here.
He's eighth all time now in 50-point games. Only one other person has had as many 60-point games in a season, and that's Wilt Chamberlain. If you're a hooper, like you said, he's the most fun guy right now in the bubble to watch play until next Tuesday night, should they figure it out over the weekend, and you're going to throw Alex Caruso out there.
Look, besides the fact that he went for 61 and he went for 50, I think 51 in the game before that, they still only won 134-131 because of some crazy long-distance shot that he hit. So, I mean, you have to have more than just Damian Lillard. And don't give me your Carmelo Anthony nonsense that I know is coming at some point.
I'll save the stats for later. We'll bury them later. Lots of tease if Greg ever heard one. All the Melo analytics. Might have to have you fill out the official Carmelo Anthony apology form.
Oh, yeah, that's never happening. But either way, I mean, like, they still have to get more from other guys. And if you look at the stats, just from the Trailblazers, nobody else besides Carmelo had over 10 points. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. had 11, but that's it. You're talking about 6, 8, 3, 8, Whiteside kind of non-existent for the most part. there's not enough on that team outside of Damian Lillard to get it done. He needs to put up 61 to barely get there.
Let him have it. You know what it's reminiscent of? We're all fresh off the Last Dance. It reminds me sort of Jordan in 86 off the broken foot going for 63 in the Boston Garden. They got swept that series. Jordan was insane. And that Celtics team, the equivalent of the Lakers now, right? The modern day number one seed, the big team. So, yeah, I don't say I'm worried, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on that play-in game on Sunday if I'm a Laker fan. I'm also keeping an eye on Woj's Twitter, as always, now that Woj is back. He's dropping bombs, and a few went off earlier today. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, by the way, ESPN LA. We're going to have Rich Kleiman coming up at 10:30, who's the perfect guest to talk about these Woj tweets, because now, after the first round of the playoffs, teams are going to let their players invite guests into the bubble, Greg. And this comes with it a whole bunch to unpack, as John Ireland would say. People will be unpacking their luggage in the bubble for a few weeks and getting acclimated to life in Orlando. So the NBA Players Association and the NBA has agreed on guidelines for guests starting after the first round of the playoffs. 4 guests per player, but can be exceeded for children. Guests can travel on the team charters following testing, and guests will be allowed to attend games. Now, here's where it gets a little 2020. Among those, and this is from Adrian Wojnarowski, among those not allowed as player guests per memo, and I would love to meet the person at the league whose job it is to write this up. Current prospective staff or business relationships, including agents, trainers, massage therapists, personal chefs, and tattoo artists are not going to be allowed in the bubble. And who else is eligible is any individual the player has not previously met in person or with whom the player has had limited in-person interactions. For example, known by the player only through social media or an intermediary, like a matchmaker. It's like Fiddler on the Roof. So, hey, Greg, do you have any social media friends? Do you have any buddies that you just have a Twitter relationship with?
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of people that I talk to pretty regularly just on Twitter, mostly from, different Laker sites. But yeah, there are plenty of those people. I can't invite those people now.
No, you can't. If you were inviting just 4 guests into your innermost circle, into into this bubble to participate with you in this experience of playing basketball in this unusual setting, I don't know if you'd go to your Twitter friends right away. You might go to some family, your father, your mother, your children, maybe your cousins you're close with.
So you're telling me that I can't, if I slide into someone's DMs on IG, I can't invite them?
Well, it depends. How long have you known that person, and have you met them previously before? This is going to get messy. The giggles out of the way, because this is really fun to play who's your plus one with your favorite NBA player.
So what do you consider limited in-person interactions? Are we talking like 1, 2, 3, or does it have to be as limited 10 or more? Like, what is the number that we're looking at to make it to say limited?
Well, think about it. If you met someone, say, for a weekend in Vegas, maybe you checked in at the same times, 1 interaction. You have dinner, that's 2 interactions. You hang out at the club, 3. Maybe you guys go your separate ways, and the next day you meet up for brunch. That's 5 interactions. You guys sound like you're pretty close.
Yeah, and if you end up in your hotel room, one night, then that's another interaction.
Thing now, when it comes to all these people now coming into the bubble as the teams that get eliminated, like the Sacramento Kings and whatever team, like the Spurs or the Suns that don't get it past the 8th spot, when they kind of bust out of Orlando, literally, there's a whole protocol from Shams on how they have to get their last meal and then bust out of the bubble. Players can quarantine their guests in the team's market for 3 days, travel to Orlando, quarantine for 4 days, or travel directly to Orlando and chill for 7 days. But I don't think you go to your host's room for your time there. I would imagine you would quarantine somewhere else and then be reunited with your host, say, a week. There is just a lot, but it's just really nuts to think about it. This is where we're at, and we're talking about analyzing the NBA playoffs.
So does FaceTime count as an in-person interaction? I mean, you're looking right at the person.
You're not in person, although you are face-to-face. That sounds like, I mean, that's like, sounds like, you know, when Kenny Smith the other night said, even when you play small, you have to play big.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Like, there's going to be somebody that's going to be like, look, I've talked to this person 17 times. Does that count as being we are now having a longer relationship than just a random IG experience?
I'm very lucky and grateful in my life that some of my oldest and closest, dearest friends that I've known since we were 6 years old. We all grew up together from 1988. I'm friends with these guys. I see them 3 days a week in LA. So it's weird to me when people say, oh, that guy's been my best friend of 10 years. I'm like, oh, you met him in 2010. Wow, you have a lot of history. I have a different perspective on that. But where's the 17-day cutoff? Can they even be my friend if we've only hung out 17 times?
That's true. I mean, people are going to get around this. I don't know how they're going to do it, but we're going to find out some way. I mean, and that's the other part of it, too. Like, if you're going to go through this whole quarantine process, either taking them into your home market or having them quarantine alone for 4 days or 7 days inside the bubble, I mean, it better be worth it, right?
Oh, how about that? You go, you give up one of your four spots into the bubble, and then two games in, you realize, you know what? I don't think that you were worthy of a golden ticket to come to Willy Wonka Land. Like, this is uncomfortable. It's a little awkward. Oh, man. Right. So
it's like the Seinfeld episode. Are they sponge worthy? Are you bubble worthy?
Who's your plus one? I'm so curious who guys are taking to the bubble. Let's go through the Laker roster and see who's going to be joining this crew in Orlando if they're able to survive Dame time. 61 points over the weekend. I'm paying attention to the Blazers. Also want to get into Hard Knocks. I got a chance to watch the first episode last night. McVay is coaching his dog during quarantine. He's losing his mind. We'll get into that next. Plus Rich Kleiman at 10:30. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. And you know what's not healthy? Stressing about work. I know Coach is stressed about work. We all are right now, or maybe you're out of work. It's understandable, but now's a great time to stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as just 4 months from the comfort of your very own home. Even if you have zero computer experience, now's the time to pivot. Reinvention is the closest path to self-discovery. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes. They meet just twice a week. An emergency relief grant of up to $35,000 is available to those who qualify, guys. It's not rocket science. It's not the triangle offense. It's My Computer Career EDU. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on 710 ESPN.
Live and local on 710.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
You are listening to The Sedano Show on 710 ESPN.
Now back to Sedano.
ESPN Radio, Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. Who let the dogs out? What up, Steve, on the boards? ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Don't stop on my account. Let it bang. Great to be in with you guys on a Wednesday. Rich Kleiman is going to call in at around 10:30. He's got a new podcast that I think comes out today on the Boardroom Podcast Network called Out of the Office. Rich's conversations with leaders in business. People don't know he's Kevin Durant's guy in 35 Ventures. So we'll break down how the NBA bubble will be impacted by the fact that Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out earlier today that the NBA will allow teams to bring up to four guests, sometimes a few more if you got a few extra kids, down to the bubble to be a part of this thing as the competition heats up and intensifies in the weeks leading up to the NBA Finals in August. So after the first round, and assuming that the Lakers are able to take care of business and Melo doesn't hit a game winner and game seven and sending the Blazers on to the second round, if the Lakers are able to advance, which I think they will, then they'll be allowed to invite people down to the bubble. So let's start with all things Lakers, Greg Bergman, LeBron James. Who's he calling out to come on down to Orlando?
Oh, he's calling his wife and kids. That's an easy one. We're not going anywhere else there, right?
Well, is it though, Greg? So this is where the fun and games kind of takes a pause, because as much fun as it is to kind of look at our favorite players and their lives and their personalities and social media and stuff, this is where the real life human element comes into it. Would you invite your wife, your significant other, the people you care about, your kids into an invite? It is a little uncertain. There's never been a bubble before with 10,000 people from all over the world. And while they've been able to maintain safety throughout this process so far, is it the best idea to move your family across the country and have them live at a hotel room in Orlando? Forget just the health ramifications from the actual COVID-19, what that does to the mentality of a young man or young woman as they're growing up to live in a hotel for 3 days or 3 months, or is that good? It sounds fun, play at Disney World, but it's weird. It's life. It's a lot going on here. But would you invite your kids to come visit you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would, because I mean, it seems to be extremely safe in there. And also, I mean, the fun and games, the summer camp aspect of it has kind of come to an end when you're getting it there. You're after the first round of the playoffs, so you're not having so many teams in there. You're down to, what is it going to be? You're going to lose four teams on each side, so you have eight teams left after that. So you're just not having as many people as you did when you had the entire, when everybody that was in the bubble is there. So it is more of a family-friendly environment now. So yeah, I would absolutely bring them in there as long as everybody is safe, and that's probably what it would be like.
You know, Jaylen Brown was talking. Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Brown was talking about how hard it is to unplug from basketball in this hyper basketball AAU camp of basketball paradise that they've created down there. It's hard to unplug and unwind. And it's a great story where, you know, the Lakers were, I think it was like 93 or the 93 playoffs. James Worthy's on the road in Phoenix, and he's hitting golf balls down at the Biltmore Hotel just to clear his head and, you know, get some fresh air. And he's having to guard Charles Barkley in his MVP season. And, you know, he thought it was a big reason why they were able to go up 2-0 that series, is because he went down there and picked up a golf club. And that's actually the first time he ever started playing golf. And he went on to play for the rest of his life after that. But the idea of clearing your head from basketball, family, friends, your kids can really be helpful in doing that. So it will alleviate a tremendous amount of stress. I sent you that article where J.R. Smith's been FaceTiming his kids 6 hours a day in the bubble. Anybody who's got 6 hours a day screen time, that's not healthy, period, let alone having that detachment from your kids. That's a lot. So I think it's a big deal the NBA is doing this, and it's a big deal that they're doing it this way. But it is a reminder of the severity of the situation, them being a global league, Greg, the most global and diverse of all the major American sports, at the forefront of not only reopening, but doing it in a way where the families can be a part of it. And they're not saying they're coming next weekend for the playoffs. This is talking about, you know, August 30th.
Right. And then you're talking about how it's the most global sport. I mean, what do you do with somebody like Luka Doncic, who his entire family is in another country? Can you bring them over? Are they allowed to come into the bubble? I don't feel like that's probably right at that point,
I would
right?
guess not. And then when you're talking Luka, for the four guests, maybe that's where sort of the fun and games kicks back in. And what's going on his Instagram? So no, right. the real life and the hilarity is an interesting dance that I struggle with, and I'm sure I'll cross the line a number of times, because this is serious and it is real life, and it must be hard for, you know, some of these kids are 19, 20, 21. You see what the Suns did the other day for their player introductions? They had their family members. The NBA teams should adopt this. John Ireland tweeted it out. NBA teams across the league, hopefully, God willing, one day when stadiums and arenas reopen, they should do this. For moving forward, they had their family members surprise them by doing the player introductions. So it's like some little like Spanish boy being like Ricky Rubio, and he's 4 years old. It's like, it's really fun. And it showed the players as humans to have that emotional touch point back to your normal life, your family. alleviates a lot of mental and stress and anxiety that I know these guys are definitely going through right now. So yeah, the fun and games of it helps in trying to wrap your head around the fact that we really don't know what's around the corner because it is uncharted territory. So we're trying to find the pockets of fun, the pockets of joy to you know, try to wrap our heads around all this.
Yeah, and like I'm watching that video right now from the Suns that John Ireland sent out, and God, that's got to give you such a boost, man. Like just seeing your kids, seeing your friends, seeing your family right before. I mean, they're undefeated in the bubble, so I don't know how much more they really needed, but this just got to give you that little extra push, right?
Yeah, and I was talking to my mom about it. The idea of showing empathy or compassion for multimillionaires who are living out our dream jobs is a challenge for all of us during this pandemic when we're facing our own challenges and our own anxieties and fears. But anytime we can find these moments that humanize our favorite athletes, it ultimately draws us closer to them. And makes us have more of an emotional, you know, rooting connection to them. Otherwise, it's just big corporations with recycling the laundry after the end. And this gets me to Hard Knocks because September 13th, the Rams are scheduled to host the Dallas Cowboys. What, 30 days from now? There's supposed to be football down at SoFi Stadium, which I was reading is about 95% complete and is battling its own challenges with its workforce coming down with COVID-19. So traditionally, Hard Knocks this time of year is the thing that begins to bring me back to football. Because I don't know about you guys, but I go through this really dramatic 12-month football love affair. It's almost like a toxic high school relationship, like a Brenda and Dylan on 90210 or like Slater and Jesse, where you know they love each other, but they're always fighting and at odds with each other. That's how I am with football. Right after the Super Bowl, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm confused. The world feels just like too big and I get upset. And then when May comes around in the combine and the guys are working out in shorts and they're, you know, the draft and they're getting excited for a lineman going in the fifth round, it's kind of like, whatever, she's dating new people. I don't care. Yeah, I'm whatever. Like, it's fine. It's totally cool. But I'm obviously paying attention and checking out who that dude is on Facebook, right? Then June, July, August comes around and I don't care. It's summertime. I'm my own man. I don't need you, football. Whatever, football. I can do my own thing. And then sure enough, I see Hard Knocks and I see the workouts and I see the guys getting cut and guys making the team and the coaches. And I just, next thing you know, on a Sunday in September, it's 11 hours in front of the TV and I'm back to football. So it's rinse, wash, repeat, this love affair with football. And Hard Knocks has been instrumental in that this time of year. It gives you hope and optimism for your new players on your team. You get to see firsthand how the organization is run. But last night, my gosh, my heart, my arms go around everybody in the Chargers and Rams organizations and all those frontline workers who are testing the players and coaches, because it was an uncomfortable watch, Greg. I would not necessarily say to everyone who was hoping to have football back in any form this year, hey, go out and watch Hard Knocks. It'll get you fired up, because it kind of just sobers you into realizing just how complicated this process is going to be to get through a season. The tests, the masks, the swabs, the shields, all of these phrases that you're hearing Coach McVay and these guys say, it's just surreal and eerie. And again, to see the organizational structure in place and the communication that exists between the frontline workers and the nurses and the doctors and, oh my God, it's remarkable. I mean, the show opens with Anthony Lynn revealing to his team on a Zoom that he's the coach of the Chargers and he's got COVID, and the players reacting, and it realizes that this is real life. So yeah, definitely a challenging watch if you're looking to get fired up for the football season. And then that brings us to the other big news of the day. And that's, of course, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the other conferences in college football that are deciding to say goodbye. And when you watch Hard Knocks and you see the resources that it takes at the highest level, it actually brings a lot of clarity to the situation around college football, because if the Rams have to jump through these hoops at the highest levels, there's no way these schools have the resources to be able to provide the safe environments for these student athletes. So some sobering news, a tough news day when it comes to football. You know, again, a reminder of just how severe this global pandemic is. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Coming up at 10:30. Rich Kleiman's going to call on the show. I'm looking forward to catching up with Rich. He's, of course, Kevin Durant's partner in 35 Ventures and is hosting his own podcast called Out of the Office, coming to the Boardroom Podcast Network, I believe, today. His first guest is the CEO of Twitter, at Jack. So, yeah, we'll get into it with Rich Kleiman. It's time for some Straight Talk. That was Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. On a Wednesday, 710 ESPN.
710 ESPN.
This is the Sedano Show.
Hey, it's Ben Lyons hanging out for George Sedano here on a Wednesday. ESPN LA, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. No show tomorrow. Got a Laker game, last seeding game of the year. Going up against the Sacramento Kings, going to play out the stretch like the professionals that they are. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Guests are brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. Greg and I like to chat before the show, touch base, go over whatever the hot topics are of the day. And you casually, in our conversation, in our preparation for the show, referred to bubble cheese. And I had to sort of just say, yeah, of course, I know what that means. Who's bubble cheese?
It's amazing to me that you didn't know who bubble cheese was. That's like a big storyline inside of the bubble. It's Dion Waiters, because when he takes a shot, everyone like on the bench goes like, does the camera thing, cheese, and he's in the bubble. So he's there for, he's bubble cheese. He's awesome.
I mean, first of all, bubble cheese. Thank you, Greg, for that. I was, you know, talking to my folks yesterday when the news broke of Joe Biden announcing Kamala Harris. I'll always remember where I was. I will always remember where I was when I learned the meaning of bubble cheese now. So I appreciate you for being a part of my life now forever.
Whenever you see Dion Waiters, go to the bucket. You'd be like, bubble cheese.
But these are the moments,
Are you going to use that?
Yes, but these are the moments, Greg, that teams need to rally around, especially in these uncertain times. It's like the Dodgers with the bubble machine, speaking of bubbles. When the Dodgers had the bubble machine going and Hanley's doing ICU, and that's fun times at the ballpark. And that levity, that joy to your work can only bring great success. So I want to see bubble cheese, go Swiss cheese on the rest of the NBA and continue to do his thing, because, man, talk about overcoming adversity and facing life's obstacles. If you want to learn more, if you want to connect more with Dion Waiters, go read the story he wrote for the Players Tribune about his life growing up in Philadelphia. Dion Waiters will become one of your favorite players of all time rather quickly.
Do you think, which one do you like better, bubble cheese or Waiters Island?
I like bubble cheese because I'm like a Revis Island guy. He's his own island. Okay. I think I did watch a show the other night where this guy goes island hopping across the Northeast and he explores different islands across America. But I would love to think that there was a Revis Island and a Waiters Island and, you know, Wade County and all these places that really exist. But no, I'm going Revis Island on that. Bubble cheese, you can own that. Are there any other players who have like dairy nicknames?
Dairy nicknames? I'm not sure, but I just know that one. And I like the comparison, the Revis Island, Waiters Island, you know, they're kind of the same. Bubble cheese just fits him so well. If anybody was going to be named Bubble Cheese, it was absolutely going to be Dion Waiters.
I'm not. We talked at length the other day about Michael Porter Jr. looking like one of the bad guys in Cobra Kai growing up. I think, like, if you go to the cheese section at Whole Foods and you looked at all the different kinds, Munster, Gouda, and you looked for Bubble, it might kind of resemble Dion Waiters.
Or his face is on there. He can now sell his own cheese.
Now you're talking. See, we got Rich Kleiman coming up for the boardroom. He's trying to get athletes opportunities off the court. Here we go. Dion Waiters, bubble cheese. Is Rich still on the line? Do we have Rich? Is he not calling in the show now because we're talking about this?
Yeah, he heard about the bubble cheese. He's like, I'm out. I'm not talking to Ben about anything. Let me reach out to him.
Okay, we'll try to get Ridge Kleiman loaded up. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, ESPN LA. We're excited to have Rich on. Rich, of course, is the man who works closely with Kevin Durant on 35 Ventures, which covers everything from Postmates to documentaries. He's got the new podcast, Out of the Office, part of the Boardroom Podcast Network. And is the perfect person to have on the show today as we're talking about NBA players' lifestyles, how the bubble life is impacting these players, the news today that Adrian Wojnarowski broke of the NBA allowing up to 4 guests to come into the bubble after the first round of the playoffs. Thinking about players who had food products like that, bubble cheese for Dion Waiters. I don't know if that's in the cards. Sauce Castillo, Nick Stauskas had some hot sauce he was slinging for a while. But all right, time now to catch up with Rich Kleiman. All of our guests are giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It's great to have you on the show, man. I would imagine there's part of you that appreciates not having to be part of this whole bubble experience in Orlando. But at the same time, I know you're a hooper. I know you and Kevin love to touch basketball culture. As a fan, it feels weird not having Kevin there. Are you happy that he's not there or you're not there? How do you feel about the whole bubble?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be on too, Ben. Good to catch up with you, buddy. So I wouldn't be there anyway, truth be told, right? So I don't think for me there was any effect. If anything, I'm just benefiting from what, in my opinion, has been like an incredible breath of fresh air to watch NBA basketball again. And I think the experience they've put on has been incredible. I was really surprised, and I've continued to be surprised. And just watching like the intensity in a regular season seeding game last night in Portland, Dallas, like you see how incredible just having this back is. In terms of Kevin, like, yeah, as a fan, for sure, I would have loved all of it to have been different, right? I wish he didn't get hurt, but you know, he'll be out there soon. But yeah, for sure, it's never the same without him not playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you look at this Lakers team, which is facing this crazy bubble experience that all the teams are facing, but they're the number one seed, and the things that traditionally, Rich, would benefit a number one seed: home court, that vibe on a Sunday at Staples when you're sitting courtside there with Zac Efron, playoffs, the whole thing, coming to LA, that's off the table. They don't even know who they're playing in the first round. They don't have their families there. They're an older team. Of all these bubble distractions, are any of them valid, you think, in really playing a role in how it might play out on the court for the Lakers as they go on a playoff run?
Well, what's not valid is that you would have found me courtside sitting next to Zac Efron at a Laker game. I know that.
Whoa, why not? You just announced the 3 Men and a Baby remake, HBO Max. The guy loves hoops, no? You guys are working on some of the board.
By the way, I love 3 Men and a Baby, so that's breaking news. I didn't like 3 Men and a Little Lady, but I like that they're bringing it back. And I don't mind Zac Efron. I'm just saying that wasn't valid. I've never sat with him courtside, but I'm down if you have tickets for me. But this is what I would say to your question. Yes, for sure. There's circumstances that I could point to for the Lakers. I could point to for the youngest team in the bubble. At the end of the day, though, you earn your number one seed because of the team you are. You earn your number one seed because of the period of time that you won consistently for, and you earned it. Now, is the home court advantage basically gone? For sure. But that works, you know, for and against both teams that are playing. It's always going to be a new, odd experience now. And the subplots and storylines and where people get their extra added emotion from, that's all new. But if there's one team I could point to where I wasn't worried about how they were going to react to the circumstances or how they're going to react to this new world and being in the bubble and all of it that we're experimenting firsthand, is the Lakers, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that, you know, when you have the most unprecedented kind of leader of our generation in sports, you got to look to that team, period. Like, I don't think any of these circumstances are too much.
Rich Kleiman joining the show. Ben Lyons filling in for George Sedano, ESPN LA. The new podcast, Out of the Office, premieres today or this week on the Boardroom Podcast Network. For those who aren't familiar, Rich, with your story, with your path to getting to where you are now working with Kevin, give me the elevator pitch. Give me the cliff notes of how you were able to, you know, get to this place where you are now, a podcast host. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the podcast is more of an evolution of our overall business. And I think that it plays a big part in what we're trying to build with the Boardroom. It does come out today. It's with Jack Dorsey. You can find it. I don't really, you know, I'm new to this whole format. So I've been told that I'm supposed to say you can find it everywhere you find your podcast. So that's what my direction is. But my pitch, like, I grew up in New York City. And, you know, Ben, like all of us, we were obsessed with the culture of sports. I was obsessed with being around, you know, the basketball court and in the gym and around the people that, like, you got to see when you went to a playground in the city or if you went into the Riverside Church gym. You just got to watch basketball at any level. And then the Knicks were incredible then. St. John's was incredible. So I just grew up obsessed with the culture, and I wanted to be around it. But, you know, it took me on different paths along the way, and I was in the music business, and I think I learned a lot in the music business about deal making and managing talent, and understood how brands needed to be managed and how you had to listen to your talent to execute on a vision. And when I had the opportunity, you know, via Jay-Z and Roc Nation to get into the sports business, you know, there was no looking back for me. This was my dream, and I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to kind of pivot and make a kind of real sharp turn from music into sports. And, you know, from there I used all my skills of managing talent and working on deals and everything that I had learned in the entertainment business and my knowledge of sports. And then I was able to, you know, really get into the business through Roc Nation. And then 4 years ago, Kevin and I started 35 Ventures. And, you know, ultimately as someone that considers himself an entrepreneur or has taken that path, like having my own business and building something that was ours was important. And Kevin shared the same interest, but it's timing. You can't do it, you know, just when you want to do it. And we were able to learn a lot and figure out what we wanted to build. So, you know, I'm 43. I've been doing this now for like 22 years. I didn't finish college, and I'm still on a long journey. I still have so far to go. But the podcast, I think, is like a great opportunity for me to kind of stop maybe midway on my journey and talk to some of these incredible people that I've had the opportunity to meet across business, technology, sports. And it's real life lessons and relatable content and casual conversation and letting these incredible minds and these masters of their craft kind of share stories and insight. I think all of that is very necessary right now, man. There's time for the continuous deep talk and the volatile conversation that goes on in our country, and there's incredible change on the horizon. I believe that, but I also think it's important for all of us to be able to, you know, share some good information and take stories that are inspiring.
Rich Kleiman joins the show. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, ESPN LA, Rich's new podcast, Out of the Office, which is such a strong name for this podcast for you, because I feel like I'll see things on your Instagram in August, and then the deal that you were talking about pops up in February on the timeline. And that's really where a lot of business gets done, is out of the office. So now that we're all working remotely and working differently, how has the office changed for NBA players off the court? Meaning, how are they conducting business differently, you think, in this COVID-19 and more socially conscious era we're living in?
Well, you know, in some ways, you know, I can only speak to Kevin's business and to the people that I'm fortunate enough to collaborate with and work with. But, you know, I think NBA players, I say this a lot, to me are some of the most astute young business minds in the world. And they are so kind of, they are so exposed to so much so early and have to learn on the fly and have to surround themselves and make great decisions to have the right people around. And their instincts have always been to give back and to give back to their community and be at the forefront of standing up for issues in our society. And I don't think that's been any different. If anything, I think you've seen how important and how loud the voice really is. I think you've seen how substantial the business and the impact and the reach are of professional athletes and NBA players in particular. And, you know, I don't think anything's really been different. I wasn't surprised. You know, the people that have kind of been the face and the voice for our country in a lot of ways have been, you know, our big athletes, have been the LeBron James of the world. And to hear, you know, these people in these times speak up, I think we needed it. We needed it when sports weren't visible. And in terms of business, this has been going on for a while. To me, it's, you know, no different than the music business and hip-hop 20, 25 years ago, where you started seeing these impresarios and these moguls that came out of, you know, and came out of these worlds and came out of the world of sports. Now you're seeing entrepreneurs that are building business while they're still playing. You see empires being formed. And LeBron was clearly the first to do it so early in his career and while he was playing, and he set the blueprint for us, for so many people in the league. And you see it now. You know, everybody has an opportunity to build their own business and to give back to their community or where they feel most passionate about. And, you know, I think during COVID and during what's been going on at this kind of crucial time in our society, you've seen athletes step up now more than ever.
No, absolutely. And it's been great to see while he's on the sidelines, of course, in terms of the game, Kevin at the front lines of the conversations happening in this country has been super inspiring. And to watch you guys move is always a joy for me. You know that. So lastly, I'll leave you with this. A lot of hostile environments, obviously, that Kevin's touched over the years as a basketball player. I mean, this guy's played at the Drew. He's played at the Rucker. He played in Oracle as a visitor and played in the NBA Finals on the road, hitting big shots in Cleveland. How do you think he would have fared in my old high school gym, the Collegiate Gym, which is known in New York circles as one of the most treacherous courts in the history of the city?
Bro, you're right, man. I don't think. Let me tell you something, Ben. Don't let people give you a hard time about your private school basketball.
Talk to him, Rich. Talk to him, Rich.
Don't let him listen. The gym at Collegiate on Friday night, there was no room on the 3-point line on the corners. Two dribbles, you're at half court. Someone like me didn't want to move too much. That's where I locked in. That's where I played my best. But do I think KD could operate on the Collegiate Gym with Larry Burns trapping D? Like, nah, probably not.
Appreciate the time. The new podcast, Out of the Office, is available now. Everywhere podcasts are available. It's good to talk to you, man. I look forward to seeing Kevin on the basketball court soon, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Say hello to your family for me. Congratulations on your success, dude.
Stay love and good out. Energy to you as well, and I appreciate it. That's Rich Kleiman calling.
Back to New York?
What's that?
You never moving back to New York?
Bro, it's 75 and sunny in January. You play golf all year long. What am I doing to move back to New York? For the Knicks? No way. I'm staying in the L.A. It's the basketball capital of the world right now. Come on, bro.
Damn, you're right, man. All right, I should move to L.A. I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it.
Rich Kleiman, the new podcast, Out of the Office. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. We're talking a little Rams Hard Knocks. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. This is 710 ESPN.
Live and local on 710.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
You're listening to The Sedano Show on 710 ESPN.
Now back to Sedano.
ESPN LA, Ben Lyons filling in for George Sedano on a Wednesday. Hope you're not stuck in traffic. Hope you're heading to the golf course or the beach or doing something safe, socially distanced, or just chilling at home or working from home or whatever you're doing. We appreciate you rocking out with us today and every day this week, getting ready for the whole new fall lineup next week. I should have asked Rich Kleiman about his buddy Jay Williams taking over with Keyshawn on in the mornings nationally. So, Pennzoil, synthetic motor oils. They're our friends, too. And they are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeaten protection at the engine. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30 Pennzoil synthetic motor oils. All right. Let's get into Greg. More of this bubble cheese stuff because I'm fascinated by this. No, I don't want to get into that. I want to get back.
No more bubble cheese.
No more. You know what happens when I eat too much cheese these days? My wife will tell you. It's not a pretty sight. So let's
the stomach
let's
issues
move on.
Are real.
You know me. I would be like bubble cashew cheese.
Yeah, pecan cheese.
Yes. I told you. I mean, I haven't drank milk or had cheese that's been made from a nipple in years, Greg. Years.
Yeah, I mean – it's a little bit nutty to me, but you know what? To each their own, right?
Speaking of nutty, the one sort of slice of Hard Knocks that last night didn't make me feel like I was watching, you know, an apocalyptic movie or I Am Legend or something was when Sean McVay's wife was saying that he's been coaching the dog at the house now because he can't coach humans. So during quarantine, he runs his dog through drills on the yard, and then he proceeds to get in the pool. And McVay does a wonderful job on Hard Knocks of casually showing off his infinity pool and fire pit. Wherever he's at in Thousand Oaks, he's doing it. He's doing it right. But he then proceeds to put his dog through a game of catch, like a drill in the basketball hoop. Like, this guy's out here dog coaching. I mean, he's fired up. And then to see him kind of then get a little like nervous when they're putting swabs and things in him is really sobering. And he even says at one point, I can't say anything without feeling like I'm going to get in trouble, because he's just, you know, he's on camera all day long, obviously doing Hard Knocks. But I almost think Hard Knocks is just a bad idea this year. Like, why are they doing it at all? I know you're not a Hard Knocks guy in general, but I just think if you're trying to stay safe and you're putting things up people's noses and testing them, the last thing you need is like a Michael Moore camera crew in your face.
Right. I mean, yeah, I'm not much of a Hard Knocks guy. I mean, I do like watching some of the cuts and seeing who the different players are that are going to actually doing well in training camp. But like for this, I don't need to see people getting things stuck up their nose. And it's just the great thing about Hard Knocks when I actually do watch is that they bring in the funny and they make people look silly, and they also get the serious stuff going on as well. And just for this, like the actual football serious stuff, this is not something I need to sink my teeth into. I'm not looking forward to, you know, 8 o'clock on a Tuesday being like, oh, all right, let's see who's getting their nose stuck today.
Let's see if Aaron Donald cleared all his tests this week and can play practice. I mean, Aaron Donald, somebody was saying too, I don't think it would be fun to play a football game without fans. And, you know, that's something Greg, the NBA, has done a great job of, is recreating that fan energy. A lot of the players will say it sounds like it, or, you know, you feel the virtual fans, it helps. I don't know how you do that in NFL. I don't think the cardboard cutouts are doing it in baseball. It feels like there's no juice in the stadiums. It feels flat when you're watching the guys out there. They haven't done a good job, I don't think. Baseball hasn't done a good job with anything.
No, baseball doesn't do a good job with anything. But I think this has been all right. Like they are pumping in the crowd noise, and you have the cardboard cutouts. I mean, at least it's something, and I'm assuming that that's what football is going to do also. But you can't do it the way that basketball does it, because they're inside of a court, and having it, maybe like in Dallas, you can, if you put up all those people around like that giant screen that goes all the way around.
Well, don't get me started on Dallas. I'll read you Jerry Jones's tweets after the break. He says they're going to be playing football with fans this year, and he seems to be living in his own – talk about Jerry Jones Island, or kind of looks like Frank Langella in He-Man, Masters of the Universe, playing Skeletor.
It's a good visual. I like that.
all right, let's get back into the bubble talk for the NBA, because Damian Lillard put on a show last night, and he might be playing the Lakers next week. Let's talk about it next. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, ESPN LA.